If you have 50 people in your email list, that probably doesn't mean very much. But 50 listeners in a podcasting sense, usually podcast listeners are much more dedicated than an email reader.
Oh, yeah.
64% of podcast listeners purchase something recommended by their hosts every 3 months. That kind of power does not happen in any other medium.
Nope.
So 50 listeners is very, very good. Nope. Very great.
Welcome to the Podcast Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Christine O'Donnell, a journalist, podcast producer, and media coach. This podcast is a resource for podcasters looking to level up with TV broadcast tips, storytelling strategies, and interviews with industry insiders. So let's get to it. All right. So on today's podcast, we have the co-founders of Launch Pod Media, John Dinkle and DK Waddell. They have podcasts that have been featured in Apple by Apple Podcasts 15 times, and they have number one shows in 13 countries. They work every day with businesses to create, to produce podcasts, and then grow those podcasts. Guys, so happy to have you here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, super stoked to be here.
Yeah, so something we were just chatting about was how you guys do a lot of industry stuff, technical things to really make podcasts stand out. You know the algorithms, you know the things that podcasters want to know. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you guys are doing there?
So yeah, basically in super short layman's terms, we help businesses fulfill their marketing goals through podcasts. So that's like the basics of what we do. And usually we do that through analytics, through demographic research, through testing, more of the back end stuff. Usually these podcasting agency companies or advertising agencies will focus on the actual content. We assume that companies have good content or a story that they want to tell or become an authority on a specific topic. We assume that position and then we help them get to that point and rank in podcasts and help them reach higher in Google, you know, Google searches, through Apple searches, through keyword searches, more of the back-end stuff. So we help companies and people of influence basically do the best that they can and only talk into the mic, and we take care of everything else in the back end.
It's like a dream.
Yeah.
That's the goal anyway. We want them to actually like what we do, then that's why we consider ourselves a premium service.
Got it. So how did you guys find your way into podcasting? How do you know each other?
So we actually know each other. So we lived in Japan together at the same time, we're both actually Mormon missionaries in Japan. And so forgive me when I do curse, but we both spoke Japanese, came back to the States, kind of kept in touch. I started a podcast to piss off one of my professors. And the rest is kind of history.
Yeah. And at the time I had started a recording studio, and that's kind of what I was doing full time, was I was being a hip hop producer, like music producer. And then all of a sudden he came to me in my studio realizing that I had some recording equipment, and he asked me some tips on how to record.
I was recording my episodes off of my phone. So that should show how great I was.
And then, I taught him the basics of how to use more like industry standard kind of microphones and techniques, compression, EQ, just some basic stuff. And I had a spare room upstairs in my studio. And I was like, you know what? I mean, I kind of barely know you. I think we like bunked together like twice during, you know, when we were in Japan. Like, I kind of know you. I mean, we're chill. You speak Japanese. You know, I speak Japanese. You know what? You can just use the upstairs for free while it's open. Kind of a thing. And that kind of like, he did that for a few months. And then after that, it kind of just took off.
3 years later, here we are.
Wow. So when you guys, I do want to back it up because a lot of our listeners are just kind of in the beginning stages and they're
Absolutely.
Still in the launch phase.
Yeah.
So what did you guys struggle with when you first launched? Was it thinking about, you know, what are those algorithms? What are, yeah, go for it.
Absolutely. No, we struggled with a lot, to be frank. Like, I was a 25-year-old kid living in a little tiny apartment, recording into my phone, and my podcast, which is now the number one Japanese podcast, Learn Japanese with Manga Sensei, was me just basically being angry about, you know, my professor not teaching Japanese, I thought, correctly, because I was an interpreter at the time. And so when I got my first, 50 downloads a week, I was like, I've made it, kids. I'm doing something. And then I noticed that that was actually really bad. Oh. So I go back to my first episodes and they make me cringe so bad. I'm like 600 episodes in now and it's just like so bad.
Well, I do want to let people know that 50 downloads still means that 50 people were listening to your podcast. Like 50 people cared enough and like wanted to hear what you had to say. And that matters.
Oh,
every
for sure.
single listener matters. And
oh yeah.
And podcasting is such a journey, as you know, and you improve the more you do it.
And oh yeah. What I'm pretty sure it was though is like it was 50 downloads in a week. And I'm the oldest of 11 of 9 children, a family of 10. And holy so I'm God. Pretty sure that it was just my mom and my siblings just listening to it over and over again to give, like, boost my ratings.
That's nice.
I mean, on the other note, like I have a newer podcast on a personal level. So this is not part of Launchpad Media, but I personally have a very niche podcast called Mixing Music. And it's ranked very high under the music category, music commentary. But it's so interesting because my viewership, although I'm ranked very high, is very consistently kind of low,
yeah.
relatively speaking.
For sure.
My market is very, very small, but I have a very large portion of the market share. So that means the people who would be interested in my super specific technical topic is only, a few handfuls of people. But I've gotten a lot of those handful of people, at least a majority enough of those handful of people to, for Spotify and Apple to notice.
You've made money from your podcast. You get fan letters once a week. I mean, it's a small audience, but it really does matter. And I mean, when I first started with my show, like I wanted it to get better and I wanted more people to have access to the kind of value I was trying to bring. And so I went about trying to find ways to communicate with my audience. Cause I think there's two big misconceptions that I think businesses and people have about podcasts. And the first one is that business mistake is that they think business is Netflix, not YouTube. And the big mistake that a lot of beginning podcasters make, the people who are like me in their basement or people that are recording in their living room, is that podcasting is contributing to a conversation. And if you need to bring value and contribute to the conversation that your audience wants to hear about. I mean, I thought people wanted to hear about, basic Japanese stuff. What they actually wanted was they wanted a step-by-step, easy to understand guide for difficult grammar points. And so my podcast went from, how to say this to how Japanese works from a foreigner's perspective. And it made all the difference because I was communicating value to what my audience actually cares about. I joined every Facebook group. I joined every Reddit post. I joined every Discord. I joined every single thing I could. And then I just communicated with my audience. And I went from, 50 downloads a week. And right now I'm sitting, 150,000 downloads a week.
Yeah. And, nice. And the most important reason why 50 listeners is actually quite a good thing is
yeah.
because each listener's in podcasting world and email, like if you have 50 people in your email list, that probably doesn't mean very much. But 50 listeners in a podcasting sense, usually podcast listeners are much more dedicated than an email reader.
Oh yeah.
That 50 people, like I think the standard conversion rate is 68 or 69% of podcast listeners actually purchase something recommended. 64% of podcast listeners purchase something recommended by their hosts every 3 months. That kind of power does not happen in any other medium.
Nope.
So 50 listeners is very, very good. Yep. Very great.
Yeah. So where's your podcast up to now, DK? You said you have a small audience. What does that mean in downloads?
So I probably have per episode, it's a few hundred. It's not a few thousand, it's a few hundred. And that's all it took for Apple and Spotify to kind of recognize how I'm doing. And so it's not, but it's consistent.
So what I think that you guys are both speaking to right now that is going to be so helpful to our listeners is finding a way to share content that really engages, that really connects yep. to what they want to hear so that you can take them to that next level, to where right. they want to go, whether it's, how Japanese works or how to mix music better. So that's just, that's really awesome and really exciting to hear that even with such a small audience, you're making money and you've been featured. And so that means Apple is promoting your podcast.
Correct. And I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, Apple, it's been the relationship we've had with Apple and the success we've had there has been awesome. But I think that's because we first care about our audience. We care about the people that we're talking to. I mean, by engaging, for example, one of my main parts of my audience is on Reddit and Facebook. They're not much on Instagram. So by actually going to where my audience lives and then not just sharing my episode, like here's content people absorb. It's what's difficult for you in Japanese? What struggles do you have? And then every time I get an answer to that, I now have a whole episode that I dedicated to that person that I can return and say, this was for you guys. I know you've had a problem with how to say if in Japanese. And that's a conversation. That's actually a conversation, even though it's only me talking to a microphone 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah. So your podcasts are only 5 minutes long?
5 minutes long.
Yeah. How about you, DK?
Mine are closer to 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes.
Got it. So that's something I keep sharing with people. They ask me, you know, how long should I be podcasting for? How long should my podcast be? What's going to do the best? And I start out by saying right now in Apple, the top 100 podcasts that are performing the best usually are around 55 minutes in length on average.
Yeah.
However, test what you're doing to find out what your audience listens to. If your audience is saying, hey, these are too long, let's try some shorter episodes, test it, and see how your audience enjoys those shorter episodes. So something I love so much about podcasting is it's a journey, and this community of people is going to come with you on your journey. You are going to learn with them. You might start out being an expert, a TV broadcaster, a musician, an interpreter in Japanese. Like, you can be an expert in things, but still be learning through your podcasting process. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so fun. And it's such a unique medium. It just like makes me excited.
One of the things that I love about it as well, on the same exact note, is, I mean, we noticed early on in our company that when we tried to, you know, position ourselves more fancy than we actually were, that we had a lot less success. We are very, very honest in our shows, in our, like, super transparent. Like, we're an 8-man team. We're a whole bunch of, you know, 20-year-olds that are sitting in a stinky basement kind of thing. Like, super honest. We had a lot better results. And the same thing with podcasting. Like, I got some hate mail once for my podcast. It was a gal that she said that I lied to her. And I was like, how did I lie to you? Like, I'm like, I don't even know you. And she's like, you said you were a native Japanese speaker and this in your podcast was wrong. And I was like, first off, I've said like 100 times I'm a white kid from Nebraska. Second off, the motto of my podcast is 10,000 mistakes till fluent. I'm going to make mistakes. I want to get rid of this. The reason I want to do my podcast was to get rid of the stigma around linguistic mistakes. I think that's the same thing with podcasting. Don't go into it. I mean, you may be an authority, maybe a doctor, maybe a lawyer, maybe someone that's hyper educated in your particular area, like music or TV broadcasting, but be honest with where you're at. If you get the hate or you're worried about what other people are going to say, just take that power right away from them. Be like, first episode, hey guys, thank you for coming to my podcast. I'm going to make mistakes. And guess what? That's okay.
As someone who has received a ton of hate mail, being in the TV news industry, a lot of people have opinions about how you look, how you sound, what you say. If you put a typo out there in an article you posted, there's a lot of opinions come my way over time. And something I just want to share with people is that for every person who doesn't like what you're doing, for every person who's hating on you or sends you a mean message, there's probably 10 people who are so grateful, maybe even more. It's just the amount of, maybe 100. There's like 100 people who love you. And then that one person is like, rah! And they're the ones who are excited to actually write you that email. So I encourage people, like, if you are going to podcast, if you're going to step in front of a microphone, you are now opening yourself up to criticism. Someone's going to say something, you are going to get hate mail, just prepare for it. And think every time you get one of those messages, there's 100 people who are so grateful that you delivered your message. So grateful.
You're not a bona fide podcaster until you get your first 1-star hate review. Until then, you're not the real deal.
Yeah. It's like you've got to fail, or you've got to have someone hate you to learn and grow. So,
oh yeah, it's good
way to get that hate mail, John.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be, you know, divisive.
Oh, good. Well, it sounds like you're just doing it with your podcast. Something I also wanted to circle back on is finding where your audience is. You touched on this. Mm-hmm. And I think that so many people think, oh, it's on Instagram. And if Instagram's not working, then like, where else do I go to promote my podcast, to find my audience? Do you have any feedback on that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we do in our company is we test finding out where everybody's audience lives. But for a smaller podcaster, the best thing to go is actually go and ask. I mean, if you have 10 people listening to your podcast, say, hey, I'd love to get in contact with you on your podcast episode. Drop me a link. Here's my Twitter handle, and have them message you back and ask, where do they listen or where did they find you? Who told them? What we would do is we'd take all the different platforms. We make something very, very similar between them all. And then we would go and natively ask, you know, about some content. We'd ask a question because people, if you say something wrong or if you ask a question, people are more likely to jump on and communicate with you. So if you go into a Facebook group and you guys be like, what is your least favorite podcast? Then we'll give you something like, if you say, hey, what podcasts do you listen to or what kind of content do you feel you're not getting? People are worried when they want their podcast about their thing. And you can often find out where your content is by just going and taking a day, taking an hour and going into the different areas. Go on Instagram, put a post up. Go into Facebook, put a post up. Go into Reddit, ask a question. Go into Discord, make a post. And find Quora. Where they live. Quora is amazing. I love Quora. But go and ask. What's the worst that can happen? No one responds. That's not happening anyway. So why are you worried?
And also on top of this, I think it's important. We want to shy away. We typically shy away from, you know, one source, whether it's just Reddit or just Instagram. And I can relate this to a musical sense too. Like if an artist is releasing music, they don't want to release it to just SoundCloud because there are some people that just do not, they're not nothing against SoundCloud. They just don't natively listen to music through SoundCloud. If they natively listen to music through Spotify, then you want to be able to catch them, widen your net as much as you can through whatever resources that they want. You want to bring them the music. You don't want them to come to your music. So I think it's the same way with finding your audience. Like, don't just assume that most of your fans and followers are just Instagram or just Twitter or just Reddit. I think the best thing to do is do everything. Reddit, Quora, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever, LinkedIn, whatever your things are, just widen the net as much as you can, because in one source, maybe Reddit, you'll have 100 people give you feedback. And maybe on Twitter, you'll only have one person, but that one person's feedback wouldn't have been caught either way. Like it's a small percentage, but every single person's comments and thoughts matter. So just widening that net as far as you can to try to catch everybody.
And understanding that they're not there for you, you're there for them. A lot of podcasters, one of the bigger mistakes that I see, which is really unfortunate, is they think, I'm making this amazing show, why don't people listen? That's not the question you should be asking. What amazing show can I make for people? What do they want? What do they care about? We can connect with you. That's where you're entering a conversation. I love talking to people about, you know, things that are interesting to me. And some people also want to talk on that same conversation. I want to find that middle ground between the two of us. I would love to talk about, you know, random, you know, Japanese slang terms in central Japan. But no one wants to hear about that. They want to hear about, how do I actually talk with my grandma? That's more important to them.
That's nice. So something that I recommend people do, and I'm just curious if you guys do this or you maybe do this a different way, is have a way for their audience to communicate with them, whether that's, you know, sending them to your Twitter handle or actually having an email address specifically for your podcast, or perhaps putting a survey. Use Google Forms, create a survey, super simple, make it so easy that it takes 1 minute, not even like 15 seconds for someone to go down to your show notes, click on the link, and then there is a survey where you can ask people, hey, what did you like about this episode? What didn't you like about this episode? If you were producing this podcast, what would you do differently? And those kinds of questions will give you the answers of what you should be creating for them. And I mean, there's a couple other ones. You have any, what would you include on that survey?
So yeah, no, I think that it's so funny because these surveys, like, I think that's a really good idea. That's something that I haven't even thought of on a personal level. Granted that I'm the more creative person, so I'm less in charge of the analytics between the two of us. But I love that, being able to give them an easy way. I think the point to take away from what you said is just making it so easy for them. You know, making it so accessible to them so they don't have to take a lot of time. Again, you don't want them to go out of their way to do something for you. You want to make it super easy for them and help them catch them in that way. I personally, so on my personal podcast, Mixing Music, I always include at the end of my podcast, because it is about mixing, which is more of a technical thing, and people love to get feedback and get a little bit of mentorship. So I always include my email at the end and in my show notes and my personal email, my work email, not even the podcast email, like my work email. And I send them, hey, send me an MP3. And when I have time, it might be a couple weeks, but when I have time, I'll take a listen to the MP3 and I'll give you some feedback on the mix. And so I can be very real. And my audience is still so small that it's not like, that's not taking over my life at all. But I still get a few, you know, 2 to 3 handful of mixed reviews, or how do you say, like, feedback requests, you know, a week. And more importantly, like, this is really interesting because I have such a niche audience where a couple weeks ago, I went to New York City at the Javits Center. They had a conference for audio engineers. And I went over there and hung out with a lot of cool people. And while I was at one of these parties after the conference, I had people come up to me that recognized my voice and like, oh, are you DK from Mixing Music? And I was able to ask them feedback and talk about the show in person. And we have one of our clients was able to do the same thing. He's a very niche talking about how to sell better products on Amazon, how to sell them better. And he was able to go to New York City and hit up people on his podcast and took 10 people out to dinner, paid for the dinner through one of the sponsors of the podcast, and was able to talk to them directly face to face about his show and, you know, how they can improve. And that's like a very rare, very specific situation that's not applicable to all senses. But I think that we can all be a little bit more creative on how we can invite people to get feedback.
Yeah, I think though on the more technical side of things, there are some things I recommend. If you have a website, make sure you have a contact form. However, if there's a great plugin called SpeakPipe, which I absolutely love.
Is that a plugin through WordPress?
Through WordPress, yep.
Okay.
So using WordPress website, I recommend SpeakPipe. SpeakPipe is people can actually call it, or they can simply talk into their own microphone and ask you a question. They can do it from their phone. So if you have a form, you can say, if they have a question about, say, you're a shoes podcast, you can be like, what are your opinions on black Air Force Ones? And you can actually talk into it, and then you can you'll take that clip and you can add it to your podcast and actually have them like they called in, which is really, really fun.
Yeah.
It makes them feel very involved. Another great way is live streaming your podcast so they can have the comments right away. Live streaming is a fantastic, particularly on Facebook, Instagram, and even Twitch. Making sure they have a live stream going, that's a fantastic idea if you're regular. Another fantastic way is making sure the email address that you use, if you want to contact, is the same email that you want to use that you put into your RSS feed, because Google crawls that. And if it's, you know, the same email over and over again, then it lends it authority and seems more legitimate to Google.
So that means maybe I'm not doing my email correctly.
Because I fixed it already.
Oh, you did. Okay.
What a great team you guys are.
Trying to make it better for everybody here.
Thank you, John. See, he's got my back with the analytics. I help make people's podcasts sound great.
Yeah.
That's my job.
I love it. So are there any other systems that you use that a podcast audience would love to know about when it comes to learning their analytics? Like, how do they, is there a way to game their analytics?
Yes. There are ways to game your analytics. There are good ways and there are bad ways, and there are kind of more neutral ways. And these are very dependent on your platform and very, very dependent upon the algorithm changes. The algorithm is changing constantly. For example, one of the main changes that we've seen is Apple is going more and more of a curated route. So if you can understand how their curation works, you can jump on that. It's one of the reasons we've been featured so often. But there's a couple things you can do. So if you want to look up analytics, there's a couple things you should understand as kind of baseline things. The average download rate for a podcast in the first 3 months is like something like 42 episodes, 42 listeners for your show. If you're hitting it, you're at the median. After that, it goes up very, very slightly. You can always get these new updated numbers via Libsyn's podcast. Rob Walsh, he puts his stuff up there for that. When you're doing your analytics, though, there's a couple little things that you can do right now that will help you. First thing, go into your categories and make sure that you're not competing for a general category. Don't do that. If you're competing with business, there's the general one. You're also competing against all marketing, all entrepreneurship, all startup, all finance podcasts. If your podcast is about, you know, startup conversations on the university, then you know you'd be not in business, but business subcategory entrepreneurship. You can also, depending on your platform, rank for more than one category. You should, on Apple, have at least 3 subcategories, because then you're competing for a subcategory and a main category and 3 different charts. If you're doing it on Spotify, you can actually compete for up to 7 different areas, up to 8 different areas, because you can have category plus subcategories. So you can rank for more. You do that by taking in, not using the automatic RSS feed and feeding it to Spotify, but going into Spotify yourself, naming and collecting your show under your username, and then updating it like that. So well, you can have podcast specific, because most things like Libsyn, Spreaker, Blueberry, and et cetera will have it automatically generated.
Those are different media hosting companies.
Yes. Don't use the automatic. Make sure you enter it manually. Another major thing that you can do is make sure that you are doing basic keyword research. Go to a great website. It's called Answer the Public. Go to Answer the Public. Type in your keyword for your show. If you're a podcast about, you know, scuba diving, and you want type in scuba diving, and then you can see all the different words that go for scuba diving, all the synonyms, all of the LSI keywords, all of the questions that the internet is asking, and then name your podcast that name. Put a little line and then name it something cute. Those words, because Google is now tracking the automatic transcripts generated by your show, if you can do that, but the thing is, then you have a very good chance of having your podcast rank in the top of Google. Give you an idea, a company will pay about $60,000 to have a SERP at the top of Google. Okay. You can go above that, and by making a SERP, by taking it to a YouTube video, just generate it, put a picture on there, shoot it over, and then have the transcript available there. You can usually beat out, I'm not kidding, you can usually beat out advertisements at $16 a click.
So it's just not even fair. But I think to answer a little bit more, I think there's 2 basic spots that you can look for analytics, especially for
Chartable and PodTrack.
Yeah, a little bit more for basic for me is the first one is just like whatever hosting platform you're using. They kind of usually give some sort of general analytics.
The IAB did change that though. The IAB is a big change, and people don't understand that it's going to affect their podcast by 20 to 35%.
Yeah. The IAB, we could talk about that and how they're running analytics on podcasts. But another great free resource is Chartable.com.
Yep.
Chartable.com is a free website where you can look up anybody's podcast and see how they're doing as far as ranks, as far as reviews and downloads and stuff like that. And it kind of helps you put it into comparison of how you're doing compared to others, in a way that I think that you can use to as a benefit, as a way to figure out how you can improve your own show.
Great stuff, guys. That was incredible. Also, just to kind of add on to what you mentioned about YouTube, I have seen that happen where people will, and a small caveat is if you actually have a true video versus a graphic with your audio file, your true video will perform better. Like we are recording this right now through Zoom. We're making a true video, and if we put this on YouTube instead of just a graphic plus our like a waveform and an audio file, is better than not doing it on YouTube. You like putting something on YouTube is better than not putting something on YouTube for SEO purposes, so that you pop up on top of Google when people are putting in their names. But I've seen it go up dramatically, and it is like whiplash when you see it. Yeah, you're like, whoa, we've only been doing this for a couple weeks now, not even a month. And all of a sudden our brand name is at the top of Google. How did that happen? Oh, because we're also putting our podcast on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that is where longer episodes do make a difference, because watch time is really important on YouTube.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's so funny to me because they just changed this like within the last few months. Like whenever me and my wife, we want to go watch a movie and see what's in the theater, I usually just Google search movies in theaters now, right? And on Google, before the ads even come up, there's like this whole like carousel scrolling thing of all the images of the movies that are out in theaters right now, when, what year they came out, when they came out and stuff like that. And that comes before the ads. Well, now you can do the same thing with podcasts, where if your podcast ranks highly in Google, if you search whatever podcast, scuba diving podcast, then Google lists the top scuba diving podcasts according to their algorithm before it even hits the ads. Like not just YouTube videos, but now just like the actual podcasts themselves. And you can't pay for that.
Well, you can actually game that just a little bit, but that's a secret.
Oh, okay. So it's you can secretly pay for that.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to reveal your secrets or are we moving on?
Well, I'll keep this one under wraps. I've had a theory for about 8 months and it's 90% true. So I'm going to keep this till January, where I'm releasing a white paper on the most effective podcast advertising with about over all platforms over a period of time.
And this is such a new thing as well that we're also trying to figure it out, which is why Johnny said it's 90%, not quite 100%. So we want to be absolutely positive before we start telling people.
But we have seen some good stuff. So wait for it, guys. Launchpod.media.
Hey. Little plug. Shameless plug.
So you guys mentioned the IAB.
Yes.
So the IAB is how podcast data is being, it's a way in which it's being measured so that advertisers and other podcasters can make sure it's accurate.
It's like accurate and that it's uniform.
And that, yes, excuse me, that's the word I'm looking for, so that it's uniform as well. So that when they look at your data compared to other data, it all makes sense. It's like AP style for broadcast nerds out there. It's the AP style of broadcasting. It's IAB. And it's kind of rubbed some companies the wrong way. I know there's been some auditing going on. And I love that it's happening because I think it just makes things more accountable and makes things more credible. What are your thoughts?
I have mixed emotions. I think they still need to improve it. Because we can't track listener rate as well, and because of just the nature of how RSS feeds work, I think it's still far from incomplete. I think we need to improve tracking a little bit more, which means that Apple and Spotify and some of these other places need to stop throttling them so much. I mean, we have seen direct throttling of chartable links on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts. We've seen people being able to play it using Fiverr for Jackass News. So I think there's definitely something to be said there. I mean, you can definitely still gain the system and you can't track that with the IAB very well. However, I do believe there needs to be a uniform way of doing this. I do believe that they are on the right path. I believe, three more years of this and we'll start figuring it out more. I also do believe that it was somewhat in the best interest of those who are doing the IAB, particularly Triton, to be able to get that information. So I think it's also a way of solidifying their authority in the field. I mean, now they have three countries that all agree of how podcasts should be measured. Now they can use that to kind of arm bar a lot of bigger organizations.
There were some podcast networks, from what I understand, that were inflating people's downloads, podcast downloads, in a way that was hurting advertisers. But what bothers me is that because those relationships were hurt, it bothers other podcasters. Like it affects the success of other podcasters who aren't perhaps working with different networks that have been gaming their downloads a little bit. And that really frustrates me because I care for the independent podcaster who might not be a part of a podcast network who has been doubling their downloads because perhaps you downloaded it on your iPhone as well as on your watch, on your what are those called? iWatches?
Apple Watches.
Apple Watches. And then some networks would count that it's two downloads when really it's the same person who's just downloaded it both places. And so.
Absolutely. That's why I really, really, really want, and I've been working on an algorithm that can do this more effectively, but why don't you just expose your numbers? like, I have no problem saying that I have, you know, some of my podcasts that I do have 40 downloads an episode. And some of my podcasts have hundreds of thousands. I have no problem showing my numbers. Like, go ahead. Why don't you just take it and have it have a direct counter for your downloads? What's it, who's it going to hurt?
So I actually agree with you. I think that people should be really open about their downloads. I've heard the other argument. I can see that people want privacy. I can understand that being part of who people are. I've always been really open and honest and objective.
And I kind of think like a little bit of a character thing too, because that's also a matter of pride.
Then let's hide Instagram followers.
Yeah. Or likes. Did you hear Kim Kardashian has got this effort to make it so people can't see likes?
Oh yeah, no, it's going to happen.
Campaigning for this.
Yeah, they've already made it so you can't see likes for videos.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
and no likes in Australia either. No likes in Oz.
I wonder. I actually want to hear how that's going.
Yeah, we'll see. The jury's still out on that. Yeah.
So I want to actually tell kind of like a relative story that I think is kind of funny. So one of my favorite bands, so I'm more of a hip hop head, a little bit more R&B. I'm from Chicago, but one of my favorite bands, their name is Wolfpack, and they've kind of cheated the Spotify algorithm. And they made, this is, we're talking about, you know, the IAB. One of the things that Wolfpack did, they actually released an entire album called Sleepify. It is literally nothing. It is 30-second tracks, and they told their fans, hey, just let this run. Keep the album on repeat. There's no music, no hiss. It's literally just nothing. And they said, if you leave this on repeat every single night, then Spotify will pay us. And our end goal is we want to do a show where we pay you as the audience to come listen to us instead of you paying us to come listen to us. We want to pay you. So we're going to make the money off Spotify's back end. And Spotify caught on to this. So now, from now on, Spotify, you know, totally changed their algorithm where they're like, hold on, this doesn't work. Like, you're not allowed to do that. And they throttle how much you make per stream after so many hundreds of streams.
Yeah.
So if you have, I don't know what the exact number is, but if it's like 100 streams from the same device or the same person, the same account, will cost a lot less after another 100 or another 1,000 streams. So before, it used to be the same, this how many streams you do, they, if each stream equals the same amount of, like, you know, the percentage of pennies. But now it's like it goes down slowly over time after every stream, just because Wolfpack found the loophole, you know, and they don't want anybody. And I think that's like, it kind of goes to show, same thing with podcasting. I mean, people are going to take advantage of it and continue to find loopholes.
But don't be that person. You can be the first person to do it, but don't be the second.
Don't like, be that. Yeah.
Don't like Jackass News played the game and they won. You can go look it up. Check out how Jackass News got so big. But everybody else who did it after Jackass News got completely demolished. So don't buy listens. Don't buy reviews. Don't buy downloads. Don't play that game. Trust me. Do not play that game. It's not worth it. It's not real.
And it ruins it for everybody else. Like, I would love to do the whole Sleepify thing now for my personal, you know, but that just ruined it for everybody else. That was a super good idea. I mean, props to them, but yeah, it kind of ruins the game for everybody else.
I'm just imagining all these really hot devices. When my phone just runs after a while, it like is like very warm. It's hard. It's hot to the touch. Can you imagine all of these like burning up devices because people are just putting things on repeat? Like their computer's frying.
Just put it under the blanket when you go to bed and it keeps you all warm and nice.
And start a fire.
Do that.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to part one of my interview. Please stay tuned next week for the second half. And what did you think? Was there anything that you wanted us to expand on here? What was your favorite takeaway? Feel free to send me an email at hello@podcastcoachingpod.com. Thanks for listening to the Podcast Coaching Podcast. I'd love to learn more about you. What topic would you like me to cover? Who would you like me to interview? Please fill out the survey in the show notes so that I can serve you best. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review. You can also find us on Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Please share this with anyone who you think needs to hear it.
And if you have any other questions or suggestions, you can email me at hello@podcastcoachingpod.com. You can also find me on social media at The Christine OD. Thanks for listening and have a great day.